Hello, welcome along to church today for the first time in 2021. Let's hope it's a brighter year than 2020. It's not started off that way, but God is good. A special welcome to any who are joining with us online as well. My name's Brendan McLaughlin, and I'm one of the ministers here at Earlwood Anglican. And one of the things that always brings a smile to my face is hearing little kids try to explain grown-up principles and ideas, all right? Little kids try to explain grown-up things. So let me give you some examples. This is a whole bunch of kids were asked, what do people do on a date? And Lynette, aged 8, said this, dates are for having fun and getting to know one another. Even boys have something interesting to say if you listen long enough. Or Martin, aged 10, said, look, on the first date, they just tell each other lies, and that usually gets them interested enough to go on a second date. Well, here's this one. When is it okay to kiss someone? So Kurt, aged 7, said, look, the law says you have to be 18, and I wouldn't want to mess with that. And Pam, aged 7, says, when they're rich. Well, how about this one? When asked, what kind of a little girl was your mum, do you think? Well, Adelaide, age 6, says, look, I don't know because I wasn't there, but my guess would be she would be pretty bossy. Thank you, Adelaide. And then Jackson, age 7, said, they said she used to be nice. That can actually be taken in a nice way, but there you go. Today we're ticking off a short doctrinal sermon series this summer, beginning with the doctrine of praise. And in my experience, Christians are often about as good at explaining what praise is as little kids are and explaining dating or kissing. We really struggle sometimes to understand this principle. And the problem with struggling to understand a principle is if we can't explain what praise is, then how can we know if we're doing it properly? How can we hope to be doing it properly? Now, there are certain things in life that we have to do properly. Some we don't have to. Right? As the saying goes, if you can't learn to do something well, learn to enjoy doing it badly. Right? Now, that works for things like dancing or baking or painting. But there are other things in life, like rewiring your house or going skydiving, that you have to know a bit about before you embark on it. And praising God is one of those things. The reason being that praising God is arguably the key way that we bring glory to God and enjoy Him forever. And so if we're going to have any chance of fulfilling the meaning of life itself, we need to know how to praise God. And that's what I want to explore today through the doctrine of praise. So I've got 4 points to help us understand. Oh, I think, look, is the last one up there? It has come up a little skewed. So there are 4 points. My apologies for that. But 4 points to help us fulfill the meaning of life. They're on the inside of your news sheet anyway. So we're going to begin by outlining what praise actually is. So I've titled this, The Definition of Praise. Pretty simple. We're then going to look at why God demands praise from His people, which I've titled The Command to Praise. We're then going to give it a go ourselves. All right? Going to get practical by looking at some of the things that we can praise God for. So I've titled this, The Content of Praise. And then we're going to finish, wrap up by briefly outlining when we can do this praise, which I've titled The Practice of Praise. You can see it on your news sheet. But remember, our goal for today is to better understand the doctrine of praise so that we can better praise God, so that we can better live according to the meaning of life. So no pressure at all with this topic. But let's dive in and look at the definition of praise, the command to praise, the content of praise, and the practice of praise. And our Psalm 150 begins with these words. Simply enough, praise the Lord. That's how it starts. Now, you and I all know the Hebrew for this phrase. Now, that's not a question, that's a statement. You know the Hebrew for praise the Lord, and it is the word hallelujah. All right, hallelujah literally means praise the Lord. But before we can actually praise the Lord, we need to know what praise is. And the best definition I've heard of praise is that it is the outward expression of our enjoyment of something. So I'll say that again. If you're writing notes, this is the main thing you need to write down. Praise is the outward expression of our enjoyment of something. It is putting into words our inner feelings of joy and delight. But as John Piper points out, praise is not just a verbal expression. It is a verbal expression, but it's not just a verbal expression. The verbal expression is the completion of our joy. So what he means is our enjoyment of something is not actually complete until we have expressed it verbally. Let me explain it this way. One of the things on my bucket list is to go to an EPL final, an English Premier League final. Now, I don't follow the EPL. I wouldn't have a clue which team to go for or which team to hate, which I'm told is equally as important. But I'd just love to go and experience the atmosphere. You see, even at a regular EPL game, you have something like 50 to 60,000 fans jumping up and down and singing their team songs for a full 90 minutes. But imagine when those 60-odd thousand fans were filing into the stadium, imagine the ticket collector said to them, "Now look, we want you to have a great time, but the rules are no singing, no jumping out of your seats, no yelling. You've just got to sit there with your hands folded quietly for the whole game." Do you think those fans are going to have as much fun at that game? Of course not. All right? Part of enjoying something is expressing our feelings of delight. So guys, if you see a beautiful new sports car, or girls, if you see a lovely dress or beautiful pair of shoes, our enjoyment of those things is not complete until we get to express those feelings to someone else. And if we have no companions around, we might even just whisper it to ourselves. And that's what praise is. It's our enjoyment and delight of something welling up inside of us and overflowing into verbal expression. Or the shorthand definition that we use around here is praise is saying, "Wow, God." Right? Praise is different to thanksgiving. They're both very important. Thanksgiving is saying, "Thank you, God, for the rain or for face masks." Praise is saying, "Wow, God, I cannot believe you are that amazing." So that's the definition of hallelujah. The next thing to know about this Hebrew word is it is actually a command. When we hear the word hallelujah, we must remember that God is commanding us to praise him. But this leaves us with a bit of a problem. I mean, imagine if I were to stand up here this morning and command that you praise me, right? Command that you acknowledge my greatness, that you recognize my awesomeness. All right, what would you be thinking to yourself? You'd be thinking, "Man, what's got into Brendan this morning?" Wouldn't you? But this is what God is doing here with this word, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He is commanding people to praise him for his impressiveness. Now, what are we to make of this? Well, firstly, we need to understand that God is not demanding compliments in order to boost his ego. He doesn't need that. He doesn't need anything or anyone. He is completely self-sufficient. So that's not why he's commanding this. Second, God commands praise because he's showing us where infinite worth is found. You see, God is the most holy, powerful, righteous, loving, intelligent, caring, forgiving, merciful, kind, and all-round beautiful being in all existence. And what we realize is that if God were not demanding praise for that which is of infinite value, then he would be implying that there is something more praiseworthy in the universe than himself. And that means that God would be committing idolatry. Right? The reason God commands praise, the first reason God commands praise, is he is showing us where infinite worth is to be found. And it's to be found in him. But the third thing we need to note about this, and this is what blew my mind this week, is that praise is the completion of, like, if praise is the completion of joy, as we saw in our first point, then praising God is the most enjoyable thing humans can do. Right? Understand the logic. Most humans don't believe this, because, like I said at the beginning, most humans don't do it right. But understand the logic here. If praise is the consummation, the completion of joy, and God is the most enjoyable thing in the universe, then when God commands us to praise him, he is commanding us to have the most enjoyment that a human can have in life. Kind of changes your perspective on singing in church, doesn't it? See, praise is not a religious duty that we have to perform. And praise, singing praise is not a break in the service that allows us to stretch our legs. Singing praises to God is the most fun humans can have if we're doing it right. But like I said, many of us are not good at this. So for our third point, we're going to give it a go ourselves. Let's look at what we praise the Lord for. And the content of praise is really simple. All right, we praise the Lord for anything that takes our breath away, for anything that makes us go, wow, God. So in verse 2, the psalm says, praise him for his acts of power. And the first place we see God's power is in creation. All right? Next time you see something breathtaking like that, think about how it was created by God. He put this amazing world together himself. And he has created some truly amazing things, has he not? Does God's creation not take your breath away? Or then there's the power within God's creation. See, next time you see something incredibly powerful, check that wave out. When you see something incredibly powerful in God's creation, remember, it is God sustaining this world and causing it to do what it does. But does not the awesome power of God's creation just make you go, wow, God, you are incredible? Well, then, all right, praise him for his acts of power, verse 2. But then there's the wonder of human birth. Human birth is amazing. You see, that single cell that is created when a human sperm fertilizes an egg, that splits into two cells, and then those two cells split into four cells, and then 8, and then 16, and then 32, and so on and so forth. And some of those cells go on to become brain cells. Some become blood cells, some bone cells, some muscle cells, etc., etc. And every single one of those cells knows exactly what to do and exactly where to go to create a human. Does that intricate process not make you go, wow, God, you are absolutely brilliant? Do you want to see another wonder of God's creation? Wait a minute, that's not it. This is where you live. I heard a cool stat this week. That was last month. Almost New Year, it's already the New Year. If you were to create a ball the size of the Earth and fill it with golf balls, right? Do you know how many golf balls it would require? How many golf balls are needed to fill the size of the Earth? You need just under 20 septillion golf balls. Now, have you even heard of that number before? It is twice the size of 10 trillion. So if you take 10 trillion golf balls, and then double that, you get 20 septillion golf balls. That's how huge the Earth is. But it gets even further. I mean, this is what he says in verse 1. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Okay? This is the comparative size of our solar system's planets compared to our sun. Our planet is a little dot. Those 20 septillion golf balls is a little dot at this size. Remember, God put all this together on day 4 in his backyard shed. Does that not make you say, wow, God, you are huge? But if you think our son is big, check this out. This is the comparative size of our son to some others. Now, you might not be able to make out the little note down the bottom. It says, Earth is invisible at this scale. God made that huge star called Arcturus. But it gets even more amazing. This is our Milky Way galaxy. Our sun is but a dot in the galaxy. The diameter of the Milky Way is 100,000 light years, containing somewhere between 200 to 400 billion stars. Now, that's a big error, isn't it? Option of error. Like, somewhere between 200 billion and 400 billion. We don't actually know. But it gets even better. In the 1920s, Edwin Hubble discovered that the Milky Way is one of about 2 billion galaxies in the observable universe. The diameter of the observable universe is 92 billion light years. If you were traveling at the speed of light, it would take you 92 billion years to get from one side to the other. And God put that together with his fingers. Does that not make you say, wow, God, you are beyond words? Right, this is what we praise God for. When we see how incredible God is, it wells up inside of us so that we cannot help but blurt out how amazing God is. But do you want to go even further, even more amazing aspects of God? Do you want to go even deeper into the far reaches of God's awesomeness? Here it is. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Have you ever sat and contemplated what Jesus went through for you? Let me tell you, it's more than just the physical torture of death. You see, the problem with the movie, The Passion of the Christ, is that it focused so strongly on the physical nature of Jesus' death that what was really going on behind the scenes was obscured. See, on the cross, Jesus took the punishment for your sin. Now, do you know what the punishment for rebelling against the person we are infinitely obliged to obey is? It's infinite punishment. It's hell. But here's the thing. Jesus didn't just take your hell on the cross. He took the punishment for every single one of his people who has ever sinned. That is millions, if not billions, of eternities in hell that were all focused on one man, Jesus Christ, for one six-hour period. Billions of eternities in hell. Now, why would he do this? Because he loves us. And he would much rather spending eternity blessing you and I rather than punishing you and I. And so he took that punishment himself. Friends, this is what we praise God for. When we see the love God showed for us, it wells up and overflows into words of praise. This leaves us with one final question, which is not on the screen. I apologize for that. When do we praise the Lord? Now, the answer is every day. Every day. Praise is to be part of our daily routine, our daily private devotion, but just our daily routine. And this is pivotal. And the reason it's pivotal is because if we are not actively seeking to praise God every day, then we will find enjoyment in something else. Now, I'm not saying that finding enjoyment in something else is bad. God has given us the blessings of this world to enjoy, okay? But if we are not looking for something to enjoy God each day, we will find enjoyment in something else. We will find enjoyment in food or entertainment or work or family. Now, we want to enjoy those things in life. They're not bad to enjoy. But the problem is, if we're not actively seeking enjoyment in God, then those other things will very quickly become our main source of enjoyment. Right? Our joy bucket, if I can call it that, will be filled that day with things that are not God. Now, as humans, we have many things that can fill our joy buckets. Like I said, most of them are good. We enjoy sin, which we're not supposed to, okay, but we're supposed to enjoy things like family and food and work and entertainment, watching kids, playing with kids, watching sport, etc. The problem is if we are not actively seeking out things to enjoy God in, we will find that that is our main enjoyment that day. And what happens if that happens day after day after day is that our ultimate treasure is all of a sudden no longer God. It's something else. And this is why we must be praising him daily, because if we are not, and God ceases to be our ultimate treasure, two things happen, all right? Number one, God is not glorified. We're not fulfilling the meaning of life. We're not bringing glory to God. We're bringing glory to food or entertainment. But second, our enjoyment, our ability to enjoy things in life shrinks. Because we're busy playing with mud pies over here compared to the infinite joy that is God. We're no longer enjoying that which is most enjoyable. So what can we do? Look, I have three simple ways today that we can be praising God every day. Now, this is not exhaustive. There are many, many different ways we can praise God, but I'm just going to give you three. All right? So here are three things that we can do. Number one, we find something that is praiseworthy about God. It could be his power, his holiness, his mercy, his kindness, his love, his grace, his forgiveness, anything that is praiseworthy about God. And then just spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes just meditating on that. Right? You might be in the car or on the train on the way to work or school, and just say, all right, for the next 5 minutes, I'm just going to think about God's love for 5 minutes and think about all the different things that are amazing about God's love. Write them down if you have to. And then turn that into a little prayer of praise. And you've done it. You've enjoyed that which is most enjoyable for that day. The second way is using daily devotions. People way smarter than you and I have done some long, hard thinking about the praiseworthy aspects of God, and they've put them into short daily devotions. You can get them from Christian bookstores. Just go and ask for a book of daily devotions. There are many out there. And so, what I do is I read a couple of chapters of the Bible, and then I look at a devotion. And then when I focus and meditate on what that devotion is telling me, I then turn that into a prayer of praise. Sometimes they have prayers at the end of those devotions. All right, so that's the second way. And the third way is through song. According to this psalm, it is the most important way. All right, half the psalm is about singing. Have a look. Verse 3, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Now, here's the thing. Why is the psalmist so focused on singing praises to God? Well, the reason is because music is specifically designed to arouse our emotions, to make us feel good. And so if our emotions are aroused in the right way, then our enjoyment of God can be heightened even more. Now, there are bad ways to do this. We need to be aware of this and careful of this. All right? We're not to let the music or the experience of singing with others be the thing we enjoy the most. You can go to rock concerts for those. The music and our singing, and particularly the communal singing here at church, are there to help arouse our emotions in God so that our enjoyment of God is heightened. Now, we can praise God through song at home by listening to Christian music. There's plenty on the internet at the moment. Or we can praise God through song at church. But even if we can't sing ourselves because of COVID, what do? We focus on the words and we just allow the music to help heighten our emotions of the words that are talking about God. And those words, and they're usually poetic words. Poetic words are there, again, to help heighten our emotions. It's this heightened language. We let those do the job. We let our emotions be aroused so that our enjoyment of God is heightened. Like, Listen to these words. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. You must save, and you alone. Do those words not capture our heart? Or how about this one? The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Brothers and sisters, we have an awesome God. Yet as frail humans, we forget that so quickly, and our attention is drawn to the other joys of life. And like I said, they're not bad, but if we focus on them, we're missing out on the greatest joy. So whether we are reading God's word, whether we are reading a devotion, whether we are meditating on the awesomeness of God, whether we are singing songs of praise, or just encountering something in all of creation that blows our mind, may we ensure that our enjoyment and our delight of our God reaches its completion by praising the Lord. Psalm 150, verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.